The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
And I'm Dave Doval.
Pardon me. David, good morning. How are you?
Fine. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Doing a little rain this morning here. That was supposed to clear up. I hope it does, because I've got the honey-do list this from the bad place. And
Need to get some stuff
done outside, man. Morning, everybody. We're ready for 2 hours of home improvement conversations. Emphasis on conversations. I don't know. It feels like, David, the last few weeks, we've had really, in my opinion, we've had really good content and kind of organized stuff. But want to make sure that y'all know you can call us. We're at 704-570-1110. In our humble opinion, it's always a little better when you call. And we talk about what's important to you, because David and I will go on 4 days, if you let us, on stuff that we think is cool. So lots of different stuff to talk about this morning, but I think the pollen's gone. If it's time to get outside and clean up, time to get out and clean up. So we'll talk about cleaning stuff. We'll talk about fixing stuff. I've probably got, David, a list of 20 or 30 different projects that, you know, that are just good projects around the house. It probably won't break the bank, but just good things to do if you're looking for home improvement stuff to do. We'll do our product of the week. So this week, let's see. I have a couple things that I just put in the cool stuff file, just tools that I and little devices that make difficult jobs easy. Nice. We'll talk about that. I found somebody sent me some products, some wood treatment products, not along the order of the Cedar Shield, but more on the order of the, Minwax maybe, that had the liquid wood and stuff like that. It's on that order, and I want to talk about those because it's actually a very green option. Where some of those other things.
Oh, the wood hardener.
Yeah, wood hardener and wood epoxy, stuff like that.
Sure.
I couldn't think of the name of it. I'm not even caffeine deficient this morning. Then I have probably a dozen different projects. And as I was looking through the projects, some of them would require mounting something to concrete, either vertical or horizontal. And I thought, that's probably a good thing to talk about, because there's a lot of things. Well, it's a good thing to talk about. So that's it. We've got some tips of the week. But again, most importantly, we want to talk about what's important to you. What are your questions? What are the things that are on your mind about your home and home improvement? We're at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. David, any big projects in your world?
Just been kind of a run on doors. A lot of entrance doors. People have been in their house for 10, 15, 20 years, and the door jams down towards the bottom, and it's a good time for people to look. And I think if you get out there and you take a peek, you can see where the water possibly, if you're not fortunate enough to have a porch roof over those entrance doors, they usually take a beating, and it's usually at the bottom down near the threshold. And on the jams on each side, they'll begin to rot. So, and a lot of times, I go to someone's house and I knock on the door for an appointment for something else. But if I see that, I'll mention it to them just so they know. And it's not really an upsell, but what it is it's what I'm trying to tell you is, if it gets too far, that water goes beyond that door jam and will get down into the plywood.
Yep.
Get into the jack stud. We'll get down into your band sills, and that changing that door is a drop in the bucket compared to what it's going to cost once it gets into the framing of the house.
That is a fact. So we've seen that, right? Worth paying attention to. Yeah, mm-hmm. It definitely is.
Absolutely.
And that was one of the projects. There's a lot of front entrance door projects. In fact, it's time for us to resurface, reseal and, touch up our front door. So I'm actually having a gentleman come out and do it for us who did some stuff at church. But not changing the stain, but, kind of buffing it down and new polyurethane.
Put the coating back on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
It's time.
Now, do you have a wood door, John, or is it fiberglass?
It's 100% wood. No, I honestly wanted to do fiberglass. I found some really pretty fiberglass stuff, some special order stuff at Home Depot. But Barb was really loving the wood, and so we went with wood. I forget the company name. It was a special order also, but it was really – it's really pretty. Pretty door. Dale
right.
did it, right? So, but yes, it needs to be done. And I don't know, we haven't talked about that in a while, but that's a project also. I was with some folks this week, and they were talking about, just investments, realtors. There's a group that we work with that works with the National Association of Realtors. And we were talking about the cost versus value report. And I just pulled it up again, just, for grins and it's the same stuff. It's front entrance doors. It's garage doors are the ones top the list because they're not super, super expensive and they make a big curb appeal difference and you get your money back. But didn't want to do a red herring on the cost versus value. I guess we should jump into that at some point in the next few weeks also, but not today. Got other things to talk about. Let's talk about what you want to talk about. We are wide open, 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Grab a cup of coffee, grab questions, and grab the phone. We'll be back with the Home Depot Home Improvement Show right after these messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doble.
We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We want to talk about what's important to you. We got a whole bunch of things. I don't want to get down a rat hole on tools and cordless drills and cordless tools and stuff like that, but certainly the world is moving in that direction. And I have a few favorites. I've always been kind of a rigid fan just because of their lifetime service agreement. It's quality product, fair price, and it's just durable, right? It's perfect for me. But I've been kind of watching the Milwaukee, the M18 stuff, and there's a cordless wet dry vac, and that's cool. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about what I think they're going to call the an air tip dust collector. I think is what they call it. It's super simple. You can probably make one of your own, but it's a little plastic device that fits in the end of the vacuum hose, right? And it flares out left and right, and it looks like a little trough, goes up against the wall when you're sanding touch up stuff, and it sucks the dust straight away instead of letting it get everywhere. I've cheated with that before, right? Where I usually it's like I put the wide floor attachment on the hose and I get Barb. Hey, hold this under here, and I'll sand. I thought it was pretty cool. Anyway, that's it. That was my cool thing. So I need a life, but you could get a really cool tool. And check out the wet dry vac, I guess, but. That wasn't what got me revved up this morning. It was a little device collector. Here's something, David. I don't know. Maybe you've seen this. I had not. It's called the door stud, and I found it in my one of my trade pubs. It's actually manufactured by a company called the Door Stud. You can go to thedoorstud.com, but it is a bracket. Actually, a pair of brackets, and a door fits inside of them, a slab, and you clamp them in, and it's got rollers on it, and you hold it to the height that you want to hold it to hang a slab door. You know what right. It's like to try to hang a slab door. You attach the hinges, and you got your toe under there, and whatever, you know, or shims, whatever you do. This actually allows you to swing it, move it around, do whatever, and then it holds it at the right height. I don't know. I thought that was pretty cool. I have no idea how much it costs.
Yeah, but like $299.
I don't know. Don't say that. I don't think so.
Do you know
that that's true?
Yeah, it's called the Door Stud Pro Series.
Do you have
for
one?
Door installation? I do not. I have an airbag.
That's
a little pump-up airbag.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, that works.
So if you get
the
door
close to, I have an airbag too, but
I
don't work for him anymore.
Sorry, I knew I was setting you up or something. I just didn't know what.
Thanks for that high lob. No, that's good. So that's it. That's my cool stuff. And then before we get into projects, we're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. I feel like I got all kinds of stacks of stuff here this morning because I got stacks of stuff this morning. But this is a product that a friend of mine put me onto. He knows the people, and it's Abitron coatings, and they make all kinds of stuff. They make abrasives, and that's not what I want to talk about. I think the company that owns Abitron is a company called UC Coatings. Whether that's relevant or not, I don't really know. There's two products that I really liked that, David, you and I have spoken about before, but not from this particular manufacturer. Everybody knows about plastic wood, and like Varathane has a version of it. You got, epoxy, Bondo, and then like the wood hardeners, Varathane, Minwax, they all have a wood hardener, right? And so these two work the same way. What I like about these is both of them are very low VOC. So they're Green Guard certified, which is really unusual for those types of products, right? You know, it's like plastic wood. You open that up and it's like, whew, you get a shot of it. The other thing that that is good about these because of the low VOC is the shrinkage. They don't shrink. It doesn't shrink back out the way some of the other ones do. And it dries much more slowly. So it's not like I put some Durham Rock Hard in our retaining wall last week because I actually had a knot come out and leave a, you know, just a big gap. So I filled it up with filler, and then I put the Durham Rock Hard in it. That stuff sets super fast too. And it's just like you get, and then you got to mess with it. Anyway, so those are the two things. And when you were talking about seeing, rot at the bottom of a door jamb, I feel like you talked about before about actually trying to get ahead of it with a wood hardener and just protecting it that way.
You can, and you can use that, or you can use Cedar Shield if you happen to have that on hand, because that will stop the rot. The difference is, and I'm not sure how long this new wood hardener takes to. Well, let me back up. There's usually a delay after you install it because it has to set up and harden off. Cedar Shield, because of the oil in it, you have to wait 72 hours. So you can't put any type of coating over top of it, and like a Bondo or a any type of wood filler to fill in the cracks, even if it was caulk. That you wanted to put in there and then let it dry and paint just to get you through until you're ready to replace the door, you have to wait 72 hours. So I think there's a little bit of wait time for wood hardener as well. And I don't know about these new products that you're talking about. I haven't seen those yet.
Yeah, and I haven't pulled up, spec sheets or MSDS or all that stuff on it. I'm just reading the simple specs that the gentleman sent to me. Anyway, I thought it looked, what I liked about it is, that it was green, right? It was low VOC, which also had some additional benefits of being a little easier to tool and work with for a longer period of time.
Well, yeah, especially for the fillers, but like the wood hardener, one of the things I like about the Cedar Shield is that it's brushable, rollable, or the best thing is sprayable. Sometimes you get in a position with those products and you need to be able to get it in further, or it's in a bad spot, especially if it's something that's vertical. If with the being able to spray it, if you could spray it, is the ideal situation, because you can really saturate it and let it go back in there.
Yeah.
And that works out really well.
So. Well, and Cedar Shield is organic as well, right? It's not high VOC.
Correct.
It's actually it's a derivative of the tannins or
cedar
oils
from,
out of the cedar.
Yeah, red cedar trees. It's the oil from those trees. It has some type of carrier in it, but you definitely know you're dealing with cedar when you use it. You can smell it.
Yeah.
And if you like that smell, it's a great experience. If you don't like it, then
big headaches.
I guess you're in trouble. I guess you should put on a mask, right?
There you go. All right. So anyway, so those are the products. We'll talk about some projects that are good for this time of year. But I'm betting that at least one or two people out there right now are working on something this weekend, and may or may not have a question. Would love to hear from you. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. If you're a regular listener, you know that if you don't call, we just go on and on and on. And I don't want to do that unless, you know, we're going to go on and on. But so, David, I poked around looking at trying to make a list of what are some projects that would be good to talk about. And as a general rule, I know that we're going to come right up against the break here, so I promise not to wreck that. But as a general rule, it's big projects, design build projects. You know, folks find a good design build, you know, contractor partner and kind of get at it and they talk about it. But there's a lot of things that are just, I think, that are good projects. And some of them are serious in magnitude, but they don't cost a ton of money and they make a big difference. And so I'm going to run down some of those, and they will, I think, prompt some additional questions just as you think about how do you execute some of these things. I don't want to get deep into things because you can't see my hands when I'm talking, and so it wouldn't make any sense anyway. But we'll talk about those things. We'll talk about whatever is on your mind if you call us at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Also, you can send us a note at askjohnanddave.com. Click on the questions button. Or just go straight to questions at askjohnanddave.com, and we can tackle the questions for you that way. Just don't forget to tell us where you are. We don't need an address, but just whether you're in the city or another state or whatever, and we'll talk about that. So we're going to sneak away for a break. We'll be back to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show right after these messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we are back taking your calls. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Rick, I think it was, looks like he had a siding question and we might have lost you during the emergency messaging. Give us a shout back. We're at 704-570-1110. We'll talk about the siding question that you had. Before we get into that, let's do our Home Depot product of the week. It's time for that. In the spirit of outdoors and all kinds of good things coming, I want to talk about the Nevo 720 Plus Propane Digital Smart Grill with an air fryer oven. It's like everything. I'm pretty sure if you put it in the kitchen, it'll do the dishes. Not really. But here's why I like it. It's smart, so it's got the technology, so you can set the temperature either with a probe or for the actual, you know, cooking compartment itself, and it'll maintain that temperature automatically. You can do it manually, like an old-fashioned, you know, traditional old-fashioned grill. But it's got the air fryer piece, which is like I bit the bullet and got an air fryer at Christmas time. It was like, I love it. So anyway, and it's all in a grill. So you can go outside and do everything that you want to do and just be outside. So instead of running out of the kitchen while everybody is out at the pool or hanging out, you just put it on a grill and boom, there you go. So that's it. The Nevo 720 Plus Propane Gas Digital Smart Grill with an air fryer oven. There's all kinds of great grill stuff there. Check them out. But that's the one that I really like. And that's it. That's our Home Depot product of the week for this week. We're talking about projects. I mean, it's time. It's project season. On any, you know, you go outside on a Saturday, you hear the saws running and, you know, garden equipment. Depending on where you are in the neighborhood, somebody might even have a bobcat or, you know, small equipment out doing the stuff. And it's that time. And so I thought I would kind of go down some things. We've sort of made it a tradition, or tried to make it a tradition, to stick with stuff that was affordable, right? So it would make a difference on your home. It wasn't like, hey, spray paint the hinges on the medicine cabinet. It was a little more impactful than that. But it wasn't going to break the bank. So the first one that comes up is an entrance, like redoing your front entrance. So we redid ours, right? We extended the porch and put steps going down either side and put an overhang. We were just a boring 5x4 and a door, you know, entrance. It had the entrance pediment over it, but that was it. If you have nothing, you can get pretty ornate without looking gaudy. What's the AZEK, FIPON? There's just a lot of options out there, David. Yeah, well, when you do that stuff, I presume you're not using a wooden product. You're using a composite product.
No, I hardly use any wood ornate like that. As a matter of fact, even the doors that we install have PVC trim on the outside and no rot jams. You could buy a full PVC door frame. I just buy the ones that have a 6-inch composite bottom that is finger jointed into the jam, so it'll never rot again. And I'm all for those products. Anywhere I can use them, I'm using PVC or some type of composite.
And even if you like for sheet goods, 1/4-inch or 1/2-inch hardy board or fiber cement board. Mm-hmm. It's more stable, takes paint really well. So those would be some things to think about. But, you know, when we do the cost versus value report, anything, or the front entrance doors and stuff like that, always bring back 90%+ of the investment. Mm-hmm. At time of sale. And you can make a big difference. Add some lights and put some, like a fluted trim on either side of it, or, you know, triangle over the top of it. And without spending a ton of money, you really make the front of the house look spectacular. So that was,
The color of the door.
In fact, I'm looking at a picture here, and it is, it's like kind of a, I don't know, a blue, like a steel blue. I don't know. It's pretty.
The last one I just finished up was, they painted it yellow.
You know what? And that's, I'm not big necessarily up to date on all the trends, but that is trending, like a shocking color, what I call shocking, a bright color entrance door.
It looks good against their house. I was, you know, when they said it at first, I was like, well, it's your house, your choice.
If you want to do that, go ahead, right?
But it's beautiful. It really looks nice. It pops on the front of the house. So, you know, but that's always been the case here, you know. Gina picks out the colors. I just go along.
No, that's it. You got to have somebody that has a little bit of vision for that kind of stuff, right? And, mm-hmm. and knows that it's not. It looks, when you're looking at a color chip, you know, it doesn't necessarily register for you and for me. Anyway, the other thing, this is something probably near and dear to your heart, David, is this would be like restoring a hardwood floor versus having to strip it and restain it and seal it, right? So hardwood floors, as you know, get dull and kind of just, they lose some of their luster. I don't know if that's the right term, over time. And it's a nice, there's some things you can do to bring that back. I know that we're going to be up against a break, but if we could take a second just on, because you did that for a while, right? And I would like to talk about that, because I think that you can do a lot of things, just like we're doing the front door. You can do that to your hardwood floor. It isn't this huge mess, huge expense, but again, it just makes everything pop in the room. So look, we're going to take a break, folks. You're with the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We want to talk about what's important to you, so give us a call, and we'll chat when we return from these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. That's the number. Give us a shout. We want to talk about what's important to you versus us just rambling on. But we are going to talk about some projects, that just some things worthwhile considering in the season where folks are investing in their homes. And also at a time when folks are thinking about moving, usually once kids get out of school, if you've got relocations to do for work or other reasons, that kind of is prime season. And so there'll be lots happening with sprucing up the house. So David, speak for a minute, if you will, about just resurfacing, like a screening of a hardwood floor versus hardcore sanding it down and restaining it.
Yeah, and it's a fairly simple process. Well, I say simple because, you know, you still need to move the furniture out of the room. It's a good time to dust and do all the baseboards and all that. Usually, we always did that for the customers, so everything was because we want it dust-free. But really, it's just a buffer, and they put a pad on it. It's 320 is the grit, which is pretty high. It's very fine. And you can also, they'll use a pad and sometimes a screen, but that can be fairly aggressive. That 320 pad works well on a buffer, and they just go over the whole room, and then you go in and you vacuum, and then you tack it off. And then depending on whether you're using water-based or oil-based product, if you use an oil-based, you use paint thinner to tack the floor. In other words, they pour it on a rag and they wipe the whole floor down and get any excess dust that wasn't vacuumed up. If it's a water-based product, you just use a damp rag. But you go in and they could put down a coat of finish back over that, and all it's doing is, John, you were talking about earlier with the front door, the same thing. You're scuffing up the surface so that you can get a good bond. And that's it. And it looks good. The beauty of the waterborne products, though, one, they don't yellow, but more importantly, the VOCs are very low, so you're not run out of the house for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
But it also, you could put multiple coats on in a day. So while you have it buffed down, you could go ahead and put a second coat on, and you can do that within the time that an oil base has to dry. And then after 24 hours, you move the furniture back in and you're good to go.
So it's a pretty painless process and makes a big, big difference. I'm looking at some pictures online, right? The kind of before and after stuff. And it's just, makes a huge difference.
And what's something that's real popular now is these real low sheen finishes.
I was going to ask you about that. Yep.
They're matte. They call them matte, M-A-T-T-E, finish. And so normally you have gloss, semi-gloss, satin, and then there's the matte finish. And that I'm seeing more and more of that when I go in homes. It's popular because people, I think we always associated that new shiny look together, that it was like a new car, nothing shines like a new vehicle. And people have carried that into their floors, but I think more and more you're starting to see more of these low sheen finishes. They don't tend to show imperfections in the floor as much.
Yep.
Scratches, mars, and things like that. If something gets drug across the floor, but they're pretty durable. And I think the big question always, John, was will my dog be able to scratch the floor up? Unfortunately, they will, because it's nothing. There's not really a finish out there that can withstand anything that's kind of sharp. So you have to keep their nails filed down, and that helps.
There was somebody had a product for little tips that they put on their dog's claws or something like that. I'm like,
yeah, they had. I remember seeing that. But one more thing I want to caution people, whether, if you're trying this yourself, and it is a do-it-yourself project, believe it or not, because you can rent the buffer. Applying the finish can be a little tricky. There's a little learning curve with that. Mm-hmm. And you certainly don't want to pile it up and have puddles. But it, with any finish that you have on a floor, even if you have it professionally done, remember, you're supposed to wait about 7 days before you put area rugs back down. And sometimes that's a problem for people because if it fits underneath the furniture, it doesn't work out very well for you because you can't, you know, if you move the furniture back in and you can walk on the floors, but you shouldn't put the carpet back down. You need to let them air off or gas off is what they say in the industry. Because if you don't, it can create a problem with the finish. So
okay,
need to let it air off.
All right. So I just think it's a fairly inexpensive solution for to spruce something up.
It is.
The another thing that as I cruise down this list that is out here, and it's kind of in it's becoming in vogue. It talks about fixing up or giving your fireplace a facelift, right? So depending on what the decor of the room is and when the fireplace was, you know, when the house was built and the fireplace installed, there's a lot of things you can do. We redid a stone veneer on ours. It was stone to start with, but we did more of a stacked stone finish than the big kind of flagstone stuff that was originally here. A lot of brick fireplaces out there in some of the older homes. People are painting brick like it's their job. Everywhere you turn, I don't know, is that the case in Charlotte? I mean, these big brick homes are all getting a coat of paint. I forget who the caller was probably about a month ago, and he was just incredulous, right? He's like, well, you take a maintenance-free surface and you make it require maintenance, and I get it, but I'll tell you, some of the jobs that they've done down here look awesome. We even have a neighbor that did kind of like a distressed look. And so it's not like all us color. It looks like a distressed paint, right? And
well, it looks like a whitewash. It looks like, yeah, it makes it look like it needs to be done again.
which is great. It's kind of like buying.
Well, that's the beauty of it.
It is. If it needs to be done again, it looks like it needs to be done again, just the same way it did the day it started, right?
Right.
Or of course, those are like, I don't know. I see people buy ripped blue jeans too, right? I'm like, you know. That's going to happen. You don't have to pay for it, but it's all right. So that's,
if I would have known that, I could have made a fortune.
I have several pairs upstairs, as a matter of fact. They rip to a certain point where it's just like no good, though, because now you just – whatever. Why are we talking about that? Next thing. So we're talking about painting brick, painting a fireplace, putting a stone veneer on it, boxing it out. Same as we talked about the front entrance, put some trim around it and you know, take a mantle and get a natural edge piece of wood or redo the mantle, you know, put some additional trim pieces on it. It's not expensive and it makes a nice difference. The other piece that's here, and I would not do this myself. I would probably pay to have it done if I was going to do it. And that's just repainting your cabinets. It makes a huge difference. I know all of the investor company, many of the investor companies that I work with will typically paint kitchen cabinets if they're in good shape versus replacing them. And I totally get it. But you've got to use the right kind of paint. And you really should spray it, I think, to keep the brush marks off. I don't know. There's leveling, you know, stuff that you can add to the paint. But I would say get it coated and get it professionally done. But again, a new coat of paint on kitchen cabinets is just a world of difference. Add a little bit of hardware and for a lot less than replacing cabinets or even redoing the doors, you know, we're just replacing the doors or having them resurfaced, much less than that. And it looks like $1 million. So that's a project that does, again, not a lot of money. What do you paint your own cabinets?
No, I have a painter that does it, and they come in and spray and they use special paint. I mean, it's available to anyone, but yeah. It's designed, like you said, specifically for cabinets. Sherwin-Williams has a really good paint for cabinets. So that's normally what they use. Levels out really nice. It dries fairly quick. And you know, John, when that's real handy to paint the cabinets when you if you want to change something around and you can get a door that's close to the design that you have, maybe you want to add an island or they want to have a peninsula and they want to take that off and add a skinny island. And then you paint the cabinets. Well, you know, it's much, like you said, it's much cheaper than replacing the entire kitchen. So you can get that look. And most of the time, even if the doors or drawer face is a little bit different, people won't pick up on it.
Exactly. That's exactly right. All right, we've got to take another break. My goodness. Folks, we are at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110, headed into hour number two. Get your coffee, get your questions, and we'll chat. Remember, you can also go to AskJohnAndDave.com, click on the questions button, or go straight to questions at AskJohnAndDave.com. Send us a note that way. We're happy to help that way as well. Don't go away. The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave is coming right back.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
A Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Got some lines open at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. People may be hunkered down. I don't know. Can you tell? Is the weather coming through bad?
About just right when the show started a little bit ago, we had a real heavy storm. I thought a plane, I was getting ready to get underneath the desk. I thought a plane was getting ready to land in the backyard, but it was the storm blowing through, and we're kind of out of the zone now, so where we're at. So the rest of the folks, pay attention to that. Be careful out there. Hey, John,
yes.
Real quick, just wanted to mention, I just wanted to tell all of our listeners, if you've been listening for a while, you know we have Zeke Acosta on the second Saturday. Right. Just Zeke's had some health issues, and just want to tell everybody, just keep him in your prayers and your thoughts, and we're hoping for the best for Zeke and that he recovers from his ailments, and hopefully we'll have him back on the air here soon.
Awesome, man! It's scary stuff. Prayers for Zeke. Awesome partner. Just awesome businessman. All right, 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Next up is lighting. Holy cow. Lighting. You can do so much with lighting.
You can.
But I'm trying to just kind of get organized around it. One thing that's very popular and makes a lot of sense is just converting to recessed cans where you can, right? There's so many benefits that come from that. And I have... I just got the bug. And when I redid our office down here, I put the units where you screw it in into the socket in the recess can, and then you push it up into place, and it's an LED fixture, right? They've got all kinds of, you can manage the temperature on them and so on. I love these because if you turn the lights on, they come on. If you turn them off and on again quickly, a little like nightlight ring around the outside of the cover lights up, and it's like a nightlight, and so I'm like, that's perfect for like the shower, because the shower sometimes you don't want to be like in the bright light first thing in the morning. Be like, turn it on and have the little ring. Anyway, it makes just, that's one way to do it. Another way requires somebody that has some taste, right, and some vision is just getting into the fixtures and having a look and rethinking how you put fixtures. Pendant fixtures are big. Just dropping some pendants over a sink, or dropping pendants over an eating area, or a bar or a peninsula. Or if you've got them, go check out what's current and contemporary. You can do all that stuff. If you're going to go to recess cans, you may need an electrician if that's not the case. You know, if you don't have a fixture there now, but there's a lot of things you can do just with. Just using the existing boxes that are there, right? I think, David, if you have, what do you have to do if you put a pendant light? Does that weight rating need to be different for the box, or is a traditional box acceptable?
Well, it depends on the globe. I mean, you know, you could put small pendants that are suited for a normal box, but if you buy something that's real massive, We put up some they're really not pendants. There's a lot of glass on them.
Yeah.
So we had to use a little bit heavier box when we installed those. But you just need to have a rating. If it's up around 50 pounds or, 40 pounds, you probably need to get make sure you use a box that's rated for. It's usually a ceiling fan box.
Makes sense. The other thing that I like, so a couple things to think about. Number one is like under cabinet lights. If you don't have under cabinet lights, it's an easy add. Usually there's an outlet, along the backsplash, and you can pull power from that if you need to do that. It's not super difficult. We'll talk about backsplashes in a minute, but tape, the LED ribbon lights, tape lights.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Super easy to work with. They sip energy and they're just great accent lights.
Right. Dimmable.
Yeah.
You could even put them on top of the cabinets to give the room.
We did.
Yeah, we did too. Just a little bit different light. We love them. We have them on a lot of the time, more times than not. But a little trick I learned about when you're installing lights, especially since we've gone to these shinier surfaces on the countertops, and even if it's a duller finish, you could pick up the reflection of those lights. It almost mirrors the bottom of the cabinet, which is not as attractive. But if you put up a light rail, in other words, just a piece of trim on the cabinet, I started putting those strips on the back of the light rail and kind of hiding it. And what that does for you is it doesn't you get the light, but it's not reflecting off of the countertop and you can't see it. Works pretty well. And even if the light rail doesn't have a lip on the bottom of it, you can actually buy shoe mold and mount it on the back of the light rail and then put your lighting on behind it or beside it.
So
it hides it.
It's indirect. It keeps it from getting that glare. The other thing that I like is just the whole concept of indirect lighting, where you can tuck a bulb away behind a piece of trim or I did it in our tray ceiling in the bedroom. I clipped the corners, and so I've got a space, where the box is actually square, but I clipped the corners, at 45. So there's a spot up there, and I just have a low voltage, not really bright, dimmable fixtures up there that just wash the ceiling. And I really like indirect lighting. I think you said the LED strips because it kind of like sets the mood or changes the mood. I just like that indirect lighting. It does. It kind of gives, a mood. I don't know if that's the right terminology. Anyway, we've snuck way past the rail. We're more than snuck. We rolled right past the break. We're going to go ahead and take it. Folks, we're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Let's talk about what's important to you. Give us a call, and we'll return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show right after these messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110. 704-570-1110 is the number. Give us a call. We'll talk about the projects and things that are important to you. We're kind of running down a list of projects, talking about stuff to do, just in case you're bored. the list is never ending. I'm typing up a little thing here so I can pull that spot back up. Boom, there it is. All right, so where did we were okay. We did lighting. I don't want to just go on and on and on, but lighting is a big thing. We said we would talk about backsplashes. Backsplashes are huge. It's a real simple way to make a significant difference without breaking the bank. Before we dive into that and some of the popular things and easy things to do, let's talk to Jay. Jay has a question. Good morning, Jay. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you? Let's get Jay up here. Hey, Jay. Jay, can you hear us? All right. Okay. Jay, we're not hearing you, sir, so not sure what's happening. We'll put you on hold for a second, and we'll try another one.
We'll come back.
Right. There we go. Here comes David. David, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Hi. Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, yeah. I'm just wondering about you speaking about recessed slides, canned versus stainless. I have a new construction, and I'm looking to install lighting. It's going to be dimlit lighting as well and the vented ceiling. Wondering what would be the difference between installing one versus the other.
The can lights versus
the recessed can versus the canless, where you just have that fixture that fits over the box.
Yeah.
The versus the canless.
So here's what happens is the canless have a little junction box with a pigtail on it. And so you still those have to be installed and the wire, everything hooked up for the inspection in the general area. And then what happens is you transfer that mark on the ceiling to the floor so that when the drywall is up, you know where they're at. That's the only downfall to those. The beauty of the canless lights is that they will fit over top of a joist. So if you're doing a layout and you're trying to get it everything even on the ceiling, you don't have to contend with the ceiling joist or the joists that are above that particular room. I like them a lot, but you do have to be diligent to make sure that the marks on the floor do not get covered up. Okay. If that makes sense. I like them. I think it's cheaper. And I think it just gives you a lot more leeway with them. And the way we spot them, the electrician that I use is we use a laser on the floor. So what we'll do is we'll set the laser on the floor once we know the area where the light's going, and then we mark that on the floor. If you're concerned about that, what you actually could do is you could take a drill bit and you can drill a hole right there, not all the way through the floor, but just a divot, because chances are that's not going to disappear. Okay. If that makes actually, sense. So.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm also wondering about the air exchange. Is there any difference between a can versus not having a can, for example, moisture or anything else, condensation?
It shouldn't be a problem. The canless lights, and even if you were to use a can light, you could buy a LED fixture that has, they all have a rubber seal on the back of them or a neoprene seal that seals against the drywall. I'm a fan of having a sealed can, whether it's a canless or a retrofit type of fixture. But they have a little gasket that fits against the drywall, and that stops any air movement from going through.
Okay. Do they create any meat? As in
they do not. Very, very, very little heat. Okay. That's the beauty of these products.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. And of course, if you use a can light, you can, you don't necessarily have to have, well, you probably still should use insulation contact. So you just niche that. Doesn't matter, because somebody could put a different type of bulb in there down the road and cause a problem. So.
Makes sense. Thank you guys. Good information.
Okay. Thanks for the call. We appreciate
it. Good luck, Dave.
All right, here comes Jim. Good morning, Jim. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning? Hang on. Jim, you're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me?
We sure can.
Wonderful. Most of the fans that we're used to in our daily lives, think about our cars. The settings on fans tend to go off, low, medium, high, but not ceiling fans. They tend to go off, high, medium, you know, then slower, slower. Why would that be? What is it that makes ceiling fans different than fans that we run into otherwise?
I don't know. I guess for the same reason that you write things down and type things up.
You want to run that by me again?
Yeah, why do you write things down but type things up?
Is that kind of like
why do you park on the driveway and drive on the parkway? Yeah, that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, so the only thing, Jim, you ask, I love your mind already for one, cuz like those are the kinds of things you stop and ponder. But David, I don't know, you could debunk this quickly. The only thing
I was hoping David especially would weigh in.
Yeah, cuz he won't give you a smart aleck response. But
maybe
does it make a difference for that motor to have to start in high speed? I can't think that there's a reason that you would want it to start in high speed.
Yeah, I don't think that it would make any difference because it's as Jim said, the your fans normally low, it's off, and low is next to the off, and then medium, and then high.
Yeah.
And you know, it's same with the DC motor in your car. The blower motor goes from low to high. So I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe they just made a mistake and they never wanted to admit that they made a mistake, so they just kept doing it.
Actually, Jim, what few people know is in the Southern Hemisphere, it starts low, medium, and high. That's a second.
Here we go.
No, that okay. So now we're now I'm now I'm,
I have consistency in my life, huh?
Yeah. I don't know. Now I'm going to think about that at 2 o'clock in the morning. Thanks, Jim.
Well, I have made my mark then.
Oh my gosh! That I don't know. That's crazy. If anybody's listening and knows that, maybe it's because is Chinese red left to right or right to left? Because maybe since they're made in China, they go right to left. It's just different. I don't know. They weren't always made in China, though, were they?
Wow! I feel honored that I've stumped the guys.
It is a low threshold.
You've been thinking about this for years, haven't you, Jim?
Oh well, at least since last night.
That's right. A great question. That is a great question.
To stump us, I mean.
No. It just seems curious to me, and I thought, hey, well, who else can I ask? So.
I don't know. Manufacturer, I guess, or maybe somebody. Well, we have a lot of electrical engineers who listen and share comments and thoughts. So if you're out there, guys, let us
maybe
know.
Maybe one will call in.
Yeah, stay tuned, and we'll see. If not, I'll make
love you, brother Jim,
and repeat it next week.
Back at you, Dave.
All right,
gentlemen, I'll let you answer a question of somebody whose question you can answer.
No, thank you so much, Jim. We're going to actually take a
break.
We're
quitting after today.
We do that really well, too.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim. Folks, it's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. We got to take a break. We'll be back after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Before we jump over to Doug's question, we're going to do the Home Depot product of the week real quick. It's a really cool one this week. It's simple. It's the Nevo model. Nevo 720 Plus propane gas grill. It's a smart grill, and it's got an air fryer oven. It's like awesome. It's not super expensive. Smart device lets you control it from an app naturally, and it lets you control the temperature for cooking either through a probe or just maintaining the oven compartment at a stable temperature. You can also use it like a regular convention manual, turn it on, turn it off, and mess with it the way you want to. And it's got an air fryer. So there's a lot of cool grills out there, but this is one that I really like for the air fryer and for the smart technology and make it super easy to maintain a temperature and cook without guessing. All right, that's our Home Depot product of the week for this week. Now let's talk to Doug. Good morning, Doug. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
or good morning. Have a issue. We torn our house down, and they finished it in October. And we've got a sloping front yard. It's probably, I don't know, 5 feet from the foundation up to the drive, or up to the road up there. But anyway, so we just discovered our Japanese maple that was planted in front, was planted incorrectly, dug it out, and we discovered all this sand that was there. And the Japanese maple's about 2 or 3 feet out from the foundation. But so anyway, started digging around. There's sand going out about 7 feet from the foundation. Mm-hmm. And so then it's like, oh my gosh, why would that be there?
Probably it was the pile of sand that they used when they were mixing the mortar for the brick. So they used Portland cement and or S-type mortar and sand. And so that's probably the remnants of the pile, and it just got left there.
Yeah.
Now, that sand,
does it go down very deep?
Yeah, about 3 or 4 feet, about 3 feet, and then it becomes clay. Mm-hmm. So there was a bucket full of water in the bottom of the where the Japanese maple was. So the clay is entrapping the moisture there.
Sure. Yeah, it's exactly what it does, too. Yeah, so, you obviously the sand was left there, and that allows the water to run through it pretty quick and drain away. So, I mean, it can be good and it can be bad. You know, a lot of gardeners mix sand in with their different types of clay or different types of sand, but it depends on the sand, because, you know, they mix sand with clay to make brick. So there's just certain sands that should be used so that it doesn't turn into to a brick, essentially, and your plants, of course, would die. So not really sure what to tell you, other than, you know, if you want to dig that area up, you know, you have to move it out. I hate that they did that and left it right there. And it sounds like they must have piled dirt up around the sand, because did they build up?
No, actually, I built it up a little bit just to have it drain away.
Mm-hmm.
But during this process, we started opening Pandora's box, and I dug right next to the drain, or not right next to the brick veneer. And of course, there's sand there. I dug down about 15 inches, and I didn't see any sealant. And I'm like, why is that not there?
Yeah.
And then it was explained to me that there's some weep holes in the brick veneer, and then there's the cinder block, and they said they sealed the cinder block with the tar material or the sealant.
David, that usually has to be done for inspection to pass, doesn't it? I mean, wouldn't that get caught in an inspection?
Yeah, I mean, because what happens is they and I understand that they sealed the block, and then the brick is a veneer that's added, and then, but it sounds like they backfilled after the brick was put in down to the footing. And they're right, there are weep holes in there, but the problem with that situation is that the weep holes are probably closed up if they're below the foundation, because you have to imagine, when you start stacking brick up, what happens is a certain amount of mortar falls off the back of the brick, so it falls between the block, the back of the brick, and the face of the block. and it fills up that void, that 1-inch airspace that's in there. And eventually, you know, if it's a full brick house, enough of it fills in that it can block up the weep holes. So, it's not necessarily the best thing. They have the weep holes below grade, so they should be actually be at daylight. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I think maybe you might want to get an engineer out there and let them help you decipher all of that and see what's what. How long has the house been built?
Since late October.
Okay. Yeah, I would get moving on that, because there's to see about the warranty and see if there's anything that can be done and see what kind of recommendations that they make. But okay. If you put the weep holes below grade, I'm not sure how much good they do you.
Okay.
Okay, we good, Doug?
Couple more situations.
Sure. Let's hang tight, Doug. We've run past the break here. We'll put you on hold and we'll come back right after the break, okay? Folks, it's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're going to be back to Doug and other questions right after these important messages. We're going to jump back on the phone with Doug. Doug, thanks for waiting. You had another question, you said?
Yes, sir. Should they be culpable and replace that front 7 feet of sand with a soil mixture brought in and then transplant the plants that they put in?
Yeah, you know, there's probably a better fight for you than that. I mean, you could try. I don't see him doing it, but I mean, just bring it to their attention and just say, you know, you guys should have dug that sand out and spread it around the yard and not kept it all in one place and buried, you know, you set a tree right in the sand. You know, have you looked up to see what's the best situation for a Japanese maple tree for as far as the dirt?
There is, on the internet, it says up to 40% sand mixture. But everything else is saying put in native soil with an organic mixture.
Right. So you may want to just print that out and just, you know, let his landscaper deal with that. You know, it was easy putting it in because that sand's so easy to dig in. So
yes,
that
sir.
Could have been part of the problem. But I would, you know, I would bring it up, but have, you know, I'd have some information in your pocket so you can have a legitimate argument over it. Okay. And then I think you probably are going to need, like I said, to get an engineer to maybe talk to you about that foundation. But if that foundation, if those weep holes are that far below the grade, you probably need to see if they put any type of foundation drains in. And that's going to be
foundation drain, but I don't know that it's working.
Okay. Do you know where it comes out? Where
comes
it ends? Where when it comes to daylight?
Left-hand side of the house. And daylight's about 15 feet out.
I would
discern whether water comes out of it or not.
I would dig down and see if you could find it, and I would put a hose right on top of it and just let it pour and see if the water comes out of it to make sure that it's working. If it's working, then you probably don't have a problem.
Okay, so put it on the front. If the water comes through, then we're good. Great
yes.
idea.
And see if that might help you rest your mind on that situation.
Okay. I don't have any. I love that idea. That's fantastic. Thank you. I don't have any confidence in the landscaper. He and I argued for days about. I told him we were going to have water issues. And he put in a 2x2x2 rock drain full water just to soak into the soil. And anyway, he was worthless. And then we're finding that all these 35 junipers were planted in the clay. The width of the holes that were dug were the width of the root ball. So
yeah,
we've already discovered.
Yeah, you're going to find that a lot out there.
Junipers dead.
Yeah, that's a shame. But see, I see it all the time. Yeah, yes, that's exactly what happens. So, listen, if you have any more problems with that, Doug, or you need any more questions answered, don't hesitate to send us a note at our website, askjohnanddave.com. Hit the questions button, and you can send us a note. And if you want to put your phone number in there, I can talk to you off air as well. And if there's anything I can help you with, I'd be glad to do it.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Wonderful call.
Doug, thanks for your call. All right. Doug has a few things he's going to have to challenge. I think, David, to your point, some of that stuff is just get after it, right? Just chasing somebody to make it right if they weren't cooperating.
Yeah, you're better off to use the energy. Yeah, you're better off to use that energy and just go ahead and get it taken care of. I mean, you know, it's a shame. But that's just the world we live in. I hate to say that, but it's just kind of like you're giving in. But hey, real quick, I wanted to go back to Jim's call about the switch with the high and low.
Yes.
And he texted me back and said that I know Jim. He's in our life group through church. But anyway, he said that. He wasn't trying to stump us or embarrass. And I said, we knew that.
I thought it was great.
We're not worried about it. Yeah.
I love those kinds of questions.
But I looked it up. I went ahead and did a search on that. And obviously, Jim is not the only one asking that question. So there's a bunch of people asking that same question. And it kind of comes down to what you started on, John, is that it's easier for it to start on high because it's a shaded pole motor. And you have that weight of the blades hanging off of it, and it sends more electricity to on high and gets it started easier, which is probably easier on the fan than starting it on low. So it probably makes the fan last longer, would be the end result, I would think. But it will start on low. It just takes longer. So maybe it heats up a little bit more or whatever. So I think you were starting in the ballpark, but you know, I don't know for sure, but I know, as you said, an electrical engineer could explain it much better than we could.
Yeah. So I guess that sort of makes sense. All right. Well, that's one for the books. Maybe we'll have some more information on that next week. I don't know. I know we're just a couple minutes away from a break. We talked about backsplashes. I'm just going to just tie two things together, and then it'll be time for us to go. A backsplash, you know, putting a tile on a backsplash, if you have none, is great. There's all kinds of cool metal solutions. Go to Pinterest or walk through your home improvement store aisles and kind of look at the ideas there. It's great. One of the things that I think is really good to do, and David, I want to make sure that my advice is sound here, under cabinet lights may or may not be the case. In fact, if it's a production home, you may not have under cabinet lights. If you're going to redo the backsplash, it's the perfect time to pull a new switch or to pull power off of an outlet, switch it, and have under cabinet lights, because you can cut up the drywall, wire it correctly, and then patch the drywall and put your tile over it, and you don't have to do anything else.
Exactly.
I haven't created a shortcut that would create problems by making that comment, have I?
No, you have not. And then, of course, if you're not redoing the backsplash or you just want to add that lighting, they do have all of that available in a battery-operated deal. And it's pretty good because LED sips electricity, so the batteries can last, you know, for a pretty good while. I mean, I would probably do it with rechargeable batteries if I was going to do it. But you don't need a switch because they come with a remote control.
There you go.
So it's pretty cool. So you just stick the remote control. I would build a little tiny shelf or something to put it on up underneath the cabinet, because, you know, remote controls, small ones, have a way of disappearing. So good place to tuck it up underneath the cabinets, and I think it puts you in pretty good shape. You could still have the best of both worlds.
Perfect. All right. Holy moly. We've run through another 2 hours. Folks, generally appreciate the call. I hope this has been time well spent for y'all listening. We like sharing the information, and we love getting the calls. Remember, you can send us a note at askjohnanddave.com. Or click on the question and click on the questions button, or go to questions@askjohnanddave.com if you've got some lingering things to talk about. We also like to remind you each week that we think that the most important kind of home improvement that you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. Don't forget to work on that project this week. And we'll see you next week when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.